This is CliffCentral.com.
Yes. All right, there's a little Avicii and the Days. Very nice. And today is a Wednesday.
And Robbie Williams, when last did you hear that name thrown around?
That's right. He was in there, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Almost didn't even pay attention.
It's like Jesus, such an afterthought.
He's like decoration. All right, someone with a very nice compliment for Ben. First of all, there's, I think it's Anushka, says, "Hey, Ben, you cheer me up so much comparing a cheating cricket player to Henry van Breda." Now, that is sports passion. And someone else saying, "I love Follow the Bounce, saying it like it is on cliffcentral.com. Never mind the heroics on the field. Ben is the real hero." That's what they say.
Yay.
Someone else says, "Hey guys, are they really going to leave Winnie in four ways? I moved from four ways to midstream in January. Near Fok, four ways is the dark net of Johannesburg. Hopefully her soul will attempt to rest in peace there. Peace and love to the people from four ways."
Part of my ignorance, where is Winnie from originally? Like, where's her family?
Originally from the Free State, I think, because she used to, there was always that controversy around how she had to stay in a place called, what was it? Remember, during apartheid, she was under house arrest in a place in the Free State. It's just north of Bloemfontein.
If the Googler
something the
works.
B. I cannot remember it now. If anybody knows, you can...
Brandfort?
Brandfort, thank you.
Well done, sir.
I think that's where she was...
Well done, Google.
I think that's where she was from, originally. But that's certainly where she was put under house arrest during the apartheid era for a substantial amount of time. So, Brandfort. There's some kind of link there. Whether or not she was just requisitioned to that place by the apartheid government, or whether it was actually where she was from.
Hmm.
But interesting. And where the hell is Mabali, says Gavin? Well, Mabali is not, she's not in the best of health this week. She actually sent me a message yesterday afternoon to say that she had some kind of a health scare on yesterday morning.
Yeah.
And that she won't be in this week, but she'll be back next week. So if you're a massive Mabali fan, just hold your breath until next week. She'll be fine. She'll be back next Monday to look after you. In case you were wondering and you're worried. I should have mentioned that at the start of the show.
Right.
I really should, you know. I should let people know what the hell's going on here. All right. Let's get on with it, though. We do have some news. In spite of Mabali not being here, we have some news. You want to take this one, Sia? You want to start it off?
Sure. Did you guys hear about those fires on Table Mountain?
Oh, no, not more.
Oh.
They don't have water, now they got fire?
Unfortunately so.
Get out of Cape Town. It's starting to become clear that whatever nature thinks of...
Well, this one was one stupid idiot. It's not even nature.
No, so it was one of those people who dropped a cigarette or
firefighters, regardless, and thankfully so, have managed to contain these four fires on Table Mountains that were allegedly started by an arsonist yesterday. So two fire engines and a water tanker were on the ground, while even two helicopters were enlisted and assisted from above. This happened just after noon yesterday. Theo Lane from the City of Cape Town Fire and Rescue Services said that our crew remains on the scene checking for hotspots. It is just a matter of monitoring the area now. Western Cape Police spokesperson Lieutenant Colonel Andre Trout confirmed that a man in his 40s has now been arrested for allegedly starting the fires. He was found with petrol and other fire-making devices, said Safety and Security Mayoral Committee
What's
member
that all
J.P.
About?
Smith.
Like, what kind
he
of,
must be thrown in the sea.
What kind of a person starts a fire like that? Hmm?
I think this is someone who has a lot of issues, because someone else, an onlooker, says that a lot of people have identified him. He was screaming his head off and clearly at the location where the four fires started, so people suspected it may be him. But yeah, for
think
now,
he might be disturbed, yeah, like a mentally, you know. And they say one in four of us is mentally.
One in four?
Yeah, has mental health issues.
Well, not like extreme issues.
Yeah.
Extreme issues?
Well, anything from depression, which we know is. I found out something fascinating over the weekend.
Oh, jeez.
I don't know if it's still the case, but for a long time, much of the medical aid claim that was made from big companies like Discovery, a huge majority of it is in antidepressant medication. Depression is the number one thing that is claimed from medical aids, according to this person I was speaking to. Now, I mean, whoa. I know we have a lot of depression in South Africa. I know we have a lot of depression in the world, and that people treat it with medical, medicines. And I had no idea that it was so widespread that it was the single biggest item out of medical aid costs for the general number of submissions for claims. I don't know if that's true or not. We must check with OnePlan and find out from them whether that's true in their case. So maybe it would be good to ask Michael Otten whether that's what they've discovered too. Because, one in four people has mental health issues, and that could range anywhere from sort of mild depression right through to, psychosis to bipolar disorder, severe personality disorders. There's behavior that, is antisocial and psychopathic, and it could range anywhere between. But one in four, and some people say it's even more than one in four.
Jeez. And I would love to know the numbers or the percentage increase over the past couple of years. Because as there are more stresses and the...
Oh, yeah, for sure. We are overloaded with
these different factors.
We are overexposed to so much stuff nowadays, and we have no idea of how to deal with it. And our expectations are through the roof around things.
I'm curious. Do you really think it's harder to live now than it's ever been? I don't know.
Look, Gareth, there are
different kinds of stresses.
Yeah, there's different kinds of stresses. Like, you've always pointed out that there's opportunity and it's safer and there's less chance you're going to get attacked by wild animals or just, die of like a famine or whatever.
Sure.
But I think the internet is definitely like ruining a lot of people who just aren't built for high-speed lives.
Look, I get that. And I know that there are pressures on us that we've never had to deal with before, like technology and being connected to everyone else and having everyone else just a phone call away. But I would have thought that would make life easier. I would have thought, considering how the actual need and ability to survive seems to be a lot less prominent in our lives than it's ever been. Now we're worried about money, our health, our relationships. Those are primarily where people get their worries.
Yep.
And depression is not necessarily linked to any of those. We know depression is a chemical predisposition. That means that some people just do not have the right balance of chemicals in their brain.
Yep.
They don't circumstantially get depressed. Of course, everybody does. But these are people who suffer from that chemical imbalance the whole time. So they're depressed all the time. And therefore, they need to be on medication. But I'm just wondering, is life getting harder or is life getting easier for the average human being? Or have we just discovered the diagnosis and the tools for diagnostics around figuring out mental health? Maybe that's what it is. Maybe what we've discovered is that, we're able to diagnose depression before those people would just have to carry on with their lives and grin and bear it. That's what I'm kind of trying to figure out.
Okay, well, let's while we digest that. So the YouTube shooter that we spoke about in the first hour, now there's reports coming through that she took her own life because she was so upset about YouTube were basically censoring her content unfairly in her eyes.
Oh, they demonetized her?
She made videos basically how YouTube was censoring her unfairly, and this is what led to her taking her life and shooting people up.
Oh, so she wasn't a YouTube employee? Or she was an employee who also made videos?
At this moment, she just seems like an ordinary YouTube user, someone who's uploading stuff. And people are now going through her videos to see what this is all about. And she was claiming that Nicki Minaj and Miley Cyrus are artists who aren't censored on YouTube, but she is because of her beliefs. So she is a Muslim person, which obviously will fan further flames towards this whole thing. And Gareth, just to your point, like, people are finding it hard to live in these kind of things. Like, YouTube censoring her was her biggest problem in her life. Again, this is all speculation currently. Jesus. But when that's the biggest problem in your life, then life is very difficult to live when you think about it in that respect.
God, what a mess.
Can you imagine that?
So she was upset about being...
Your happiness...
She was upset about being demonetized. I mean, this is... You could be a YouTube shooter because they took down your video because the Australian Cricket Board didn't like a clip that you took of their press conference.
I could have come in here and shot everybody.
You could have. Jesus Christ.
Well, I don't know.
I'm so glad you didn't, Ben. Ben, you don't have a gun, do you?
No.
Okay, you can come to work tomorrow.
How does someone like that... You see, I don't find that... Call me overly anxious, but I would be so pissed off if I worked at YouTube. Because I'm like, how does someone with a gun end up here?
And how do they end up there?
It's a gun-free zone, apparently.
Well, of course it is. Because wherever you've got the strictest rules, you always have the most transgressions. That's how it works. We know that about humans. Where people complain the most about child abuse, that's where the child abusers are. Where people complain the most about scandals, that's where the scandals are. Where people tell everybody else how to behave, that's where the immoral people are. Listen, imagine you're at YouTube. You're just going about your business, trying to do your job. You're running the world's biggest entertainment company, really. And you're just checking out the content, making sure that this happens, that happens. You're going to demonetize some people. You're going to deplatform others. You're going to ban some people. You're occasionally going to promote certain kinds of content that you want. I mean, it's an impossible job, really. You're going to piss people off.
Yes. Not everyone's going to like you.
Some nobody who's got a, thinks she's a movie producer because she's making YouTube clips, decides that she's being treated unfairly and comes in and shoots people?
Yeah.
You got to be kidding me. This is insane. Talk about mental health issues. Someone burning down Table Mountain. Someone else is shooting up YouTube. There are too many people.
No, fuck, like, it's actually, these are one of the things, one of the things that genuinely scares me, or when what I think about when I'm in a public place, or if I'm at an event, I really do look at the closest entrance and exit.
I always do.
I go, okay,
cool.
Call
me paranoid. I walk into a party or a building or a function or even people's houses and I go, exit.
Yeah.
Fire escape or whatever, especially if I'm in a high building.
Do you remember, like, a few weeks ago with the David Beckham interview? I was surprised we were not patted down or whatnot. I could have had a shank in my pocket and just like, okay, there we go. David is gone.
Anyway,
my point is done because of Ben now.
We now know a little bit more about the shooter in YouTube.
This woman's poor father has been hauled out in front of the press now. Apparently he said that she's gone missing for 2 days. And she says she was very upset about YouTube and that she was probably going to go there.
Her name is Nasim Akhtam.
But can you imagine if your daughter says, oh, I hate YouTube, I'm going to go there. He's probably thinking, okay, honey, just don't say anything too offensive.
According to the Los Angeles Times, she's been identified as Nasim Akhtam. And her motive is unclear, but people say that she had some kind of a problem with YouTube, which is what Ben is saying. Mm. How's that?
What if someone has a problem with our podcast?
Well, exactly. Jesus. She was on YouTube complaining about them stifling traffic and suppressing videos. The source stressed that the investigation is in its preliminary stages, but that's what they know so far. So she was unhappy because she wasn't getting attention. Is that a reason to walk into a place and shoot people? You didn't get enough attention? Wow.
For level-headed people, no. That is not a reason.
Someone says there is also a link between other illnesses and depression. Often people who suffer from chronic diseases and end up with chronic depressive episodes or depression. A number of chronic illnesses are said to be the result of modern living, so they could account for some of that increase. Well, that's interesting. I also heard someone saying once that your diet plays a huge part in your mental health. People don't know how to take that seriously.
Also, lack of exercise. You'll be able to get a correlation between the two. Exercise is so fundamental for your well-being, mentally.
Yeah. Yeah, it's absolutely right. If you're not physically healthy, how do you expect your brain to work optimally? And if you're feeding your machine with crap, you know, oily takeaway food and sweets, how do you expect it to work properly? It's not going to be working optimally.
But back to your earlier point, if we are looking at the average person, I think life is easier now.
Yeah, of course it is.
Yeah.
You know, if, like Ben says, if your biggest problem is that you feel that you're being demonetized by YouTube, you don't have problems. You really don't have any problems.
You can log off YouTube, you can close your laptop and call it a day.
I think that's what I said. That
you aren't being faced
with... Life is the most difficult thing because scurvy. That becomes your life. You don't know how to live without YouTube. YouTube becomes the eye of Sauron or whatever in your life.
Yeah, but you aren't living in a town, you know, like you aren't living in Chernobyl.
I know, Sia, but this person is living in the world. Again, watch Black Mirror. When it becomes, you become addicted to this life that we suddenly find ourselves in. Our phones, everything dictates what we do and who we are. And then suddenly, this woman's just proven that life becomes unlivable because YouTube won't.
Yeah.
More and more, I'm starting to agree and think about the point we discussed on the show a few weeks ago about imagining a society where everyone was rated for what they did. No, like
you
even
get like a success score and an ability to positively influence the world score.
Yeah, we actually even touched on it yesterday, like when you said people who adopt are the greatest people. So if you adopt, you'd get a, you know, 2 gold stars and you know you're a better human
if
being.
If you employ somebody, you get a gold star for every person you employ.
If you complain too negatively on social media,
if you're fat, they take away one. You know, those kinds of things.
If you're complaining about YouTube not monetizing you enough or whatever, let's underrate you. Really, we don't need these people sometimes.
Well, clearly, I mean, she wasn't a problem until she became a problem. It wasn't like anyone expected this to happen. It's kind of crazy. But watch, they'll find some way of blaming guns or some way of blaming Trump. Or it's going to be about everybody except her. That's what the media in America is going to do. They're going to turn this into an anti-gun discussion. Well, you know, if she didn't have a gun, but this is someone you would least expect in an area which is a gun-free zone where there are more laws against guns than in any other part of America. You can't prevent this.
Mm.
Crazy is going to find you.
This is someone who, on their own accord, decided to get up and go and do this.
And it wasn't the usual suspects. This is not your Ted Bundys, you know? Anyway, I'm curious what they're going to say to explain this and whether or not this is the whole story. We'll obviously find out more as things unfold. It's been 1 month since we released the Cliff Central Unwired earphones and people seem to be loving them. Let me read you one or two reviews.
Okay.
From people who've bought these. One happy customer said, "I love these earbuds. Such clever design, good build quality." Another fan commented, "Bargain buy, fits comfortably and does not fall out while running at all. Good sound, super easy to connect to iPhone, and takes calls effortlessly. You could purchase a pair now and write your own review." I was on a plane on Saturday, and I was wearing my Cliff Central Unwired earphones, and someone said, "Wow, look at those." And I said, "Yes, you can get yourself a pair for 550 Rand by going to cliffcentral.com or to Take A Lot, where they are on the Take A Lot main page. Go and see for yourself. With over 10 hours of battery life, a built-in microphone, 3-button controller, and an ergonomic design, plus brilliant sound and build quality, the Cliff Central Unwired earphones are the perfect match to your favorite podcasts. They're only 550 Rand. They connect to any smartphone, laptop, or tablet for listening to podcast, music, video, even phone calls. Go and get your pair today. And move it before they're all sold out. We only have a certain number of them. It's a limited sort of range that we've decided to bring out. So be among the first to have these. $550, it's not going to break the bank, and you will have a high quality pair of earphones that you can use anywhere at any time to suit you. Kind of like podcasts. You can listen to them anytime, anywhere to suit you. What else is going on?
Here's a name we haven't heard in a while. Bill frickin' Cosby.
Oh, wow. I was actually kind of pleased we hadn't heard from him for a while. What's been going on there?
Oh, it's the retrial. It's happening now.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Back in court again, as you know, to face 3 counts of aggravated indecent assault for allegedly drugging and molesting an Andrea Constant more than a decade ago. Now, if you remember, it's already last June was when a jury couldn't decide whether to convict or acquit the 8-year-old celebrity on these allegations, which is what has now resulted in the mistrial. So now there's a whole new jury, there are new defense attorneys, and I wonder, with now all of this Me Too movement and all of this Me Too talk, how that will sway people around.
Yeah. Because Bill Cosby came in before Me Too.
Yes.
And now he's, I mean, listen, he was acquitted the last time. I can't even remember what the basis for it was, but now this is the appeal, right?
Well, this is what happened in the first
trial. Oh, sorry. No, it was declared a mistrial, yes. So now it's a retrial. Yes. That's right.
In the first
trial...
Jeez,
I really have to remember. I mean, it feels like it's years ago.
It's months ago. Andrea did testify in the first trial.
Yes.
Bill didn't. And jurors also heard testimony from Andrea's mother and recorded phone conversations between Andrea's mother and Bill Cosby, where Bill offered to pay for Andrea to go back to school, etc., etc. Prosecutors also called on a Kelly Johnson, who's another woman who claims Cosby drugged and assaulted her, to the stand to try to show Cosby had a to try and show that actually Bill had a criminal pattern of behavior.
Mm-hmm.
A juror also said that he wanted to convict Cosby on two of the three counts he faced.
Someone use your brains here. Mm-hmm. If 50 women all say that the same thing happened to them, they didn't have a big meeting. There wasn't a conspiracy 20 years ago. 50 women got together in a room and said, let's take down Bill Cosby.
Oh, well.
Half these women, all of these women, don't know each other. What are the chances they're making it up?
After 52 hours of deliberation, that's when the judge declared it a mistrial. So,
I've got an idea for a TV show. Do you want to hear it?
Yes, go ahead.
I'm going to pitch a show like this, where I go into a house full of women and I get them all to sleep with me by putting things in their drinks.
Yeah, that's exactly. That's ridiculous.
This is what's different this time around. So this jury will hear new witnesses. There are more than 50 women who have accused Bill of assaulting them, dating back to the 1960s.
Mm-hmm.
A judge recently ruled to allow testimony from up to 5 women, in addition to Andrea, the first woman to speak out, who say that Cosby also drugged and sexually assaulted them. So Cosby's not on trial for these other women's accusations, but they are allowed this time around to testify in this case to help a jury decide whether Bill knew what he was doing or not. And then there's the explosion of allegations of sexual harassment and assault against high profile men, you know, the whole Me Too movement, and that kicked off a few months after the mistrial. So yeah, Cosby's lawyers actually have now asked the court to ban t-shirts or flowers or buttons and any other paraphernalia that could be used to make a statement about the movement during the trial to keep public opinion from biasing the jury. So let's see what happens this time around.
You people are so sick.
Jeez.
All of these people are sick. Even Janice.
Cosby's sick.
Even Janice Dickinson is now speaking out and will be in court.
Well, she's not. She's very anti Bill Cosby, right?
Well, yeah,
she says he tried to molest her as well.
Yeah, yeah. She says that she met Bill years ago for modeling advice, and she was complaining about cramps, and Bill said, oh, are you feeling ill? I have the perfect pill for you.
I have a pill. Hey, Sia, we love you.
Yeah.
I start like that because I know you're sensitive, says someone on... But it really sounds like you are choking on something when you laugh. Are you okay? Yeah, it does sound like you're choking on something. He's fine. That's how he laughs.
Firstly, thank you. Thank you for...
We love
adding
you.
That message, yes. Nicely. Yeah.
And then they even finished with a we love you.
Oh, thank you.
Carl says, I'm thin and I employ 90 people. How many points do I get? Well, 90 for the people you employ plus 1 for being thin.
Oh, you get a point for each person,
yes,
you hire. Okay.
Yeah. Every person you employ, because you're adding value to the economy. You're paying for those people and their families to be able to have a decent standard of living. Unless you're underpaying them, Carl, in which case you should be embarrassed.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Okay. I can't listen live or pick up today's podcast, says someone, Ryan. Is that on our app? Because we'll try and figure out what's going on there. I know we did update our server and added extra security to it last night, so there might be a problem there, but we'll figure it out. I promise you we'll rectify any problems during the course of the day today. So if you are struggling, listen to us on one of the other podcast servers. You know, there are plenty of apps that you can get. Or if you're struggling with that, just go on to your normal internet app, whatever your Explorer is, or, you know, Firefox or Safari or whatever it is, and you can listen to us there. I'm sorry for any inconvenience, but we did update our servers yesterday, so I know that we've been doing some technical maintenance to upgrade. And by the way, the new app upgrade is available. We did an app upgrade on Friday last week, and you can go and check that out too. go and have a look. If you go into your app store, if you're on Apple, and if you're on Google, the Google Play Store, you'll see there's a new update for the app. Go and check it out, because it should make your listening experience a whole lot better. We know that there were people who were complaining about some of the technical issues that they were having, so we've tried to rectify that. It should all be working a whole lot better from today. Okay. I overpay these people, says Carl. So I'll take 181 points. No, Carl, you get a maximum of 90. One per person.
Oh, is that we've reached the cap.
You can't have more than the number of people you employ, otherwise people are going to be taking chances.
Oh, okay.
It's outrageous.
Here's a quick story for Ben.
Yeah?
Ben, please just remind us again. You speak about the pedophilia ring in Hollywood.
Yeah, which hasn't been probed in a long time.
Oh, okay.
The story has gone very cold.
And that is what, again? The Hollywood heavyweight...
Hollywood grooms children for...
Definitely. I mean,
this is what Ben's allegation.
That movie, go back to the movie Stand By Me, and all of those children were basically interfered with.
Okay.
All of them.
Well, you on
landmark case, that movie, it was one of the saddest one of the saddest movies ever. I mean, every time I've watched that movie, I've cried in the credits. Knowing what was going on in those train tracks.
How seedy do you think this ring is?
Terrible.
Mm.
It's the worst kind, but then again, it's probably, you know, the victims of this knew that their careers were on the line. And this is, I think, where it all started.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously people will look at, you know, who Harvey Weinstein was trying to teabag and all that kind of stuff. Oh. But there were some young male actors who went through the ringer, so to speak, but they could never tell their story.
Mm.
And of course, because they're men, people wouldn't believe them.
Well, here's a name as well, another name.
Corey
which we
Feldman,
haven't...
that
yes.
guy turned to drugs because of interfering hands.
Did you hear what happened to him?
Well, it's just been a long known.
Oh, no. Well, now he's... last week, Wednesday, Corey was actually had to go to the police and the hospital, as the police are now investigating an alleged attack on the actor who was hospitalized after being stabbed.
Hmm.
And Corey says it's the pedophilia ring in Hollywood that's trying to
but
silence
nobody
him.
Wants to listen to Corey, because where's his career gone? He's become a C-grade actor and everyone's like, shut up, Corey. No one cares about you. Meanwhile, this is the guy who knows all the stuff.
Well, his story just sounds a bit too elaborate for my liking. This is what he
says. But if he was still an A-list actor, you'd be like, oh, I can't believe what this guy's been through.
Let's give him the benefit of the doubt.
I already have. You're the one putting him on the trial.
Okay. I'm saying let's, including myself. Corey says that he was in a car with his security when they reached an intersection and there was a car that had been following them this entire time. So his security then tried to shine a flashlight into the other vehicle to try to find out who these people are who were following them. And it was in that moment when an unknown male then got out of the vehicle, the other vehicle, and made their way specifically to Corey Feldman's door, opened it up and stabbed him in the stomach, then fled.
Jesus.
What makes it kind of suspicious is that Corey has now posted pictures of the stab and people are saying, dude, that's like a little needle
like a,
prick.
Really? It's like a scratch.
Stole an attack there.
Well,
no, okay. Ben
I think Corey sounds
page.
Like a conspiracy theorist, and I'm not sure I totally buy this. I'm sorry, Ben.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to hear some of
Well,
Nassim?
There we go. And now you know why the Hollywood pedophilia ring can rage on, because you guys look at someone like Corey Feldman.
Come on.
But
go,
at least I raised it.
Whatever.
I raised the story just for you.
And
then
Chevy poo-poo, and that's why you know Corey Feldman's going to commit suicide.
Oh.
It's going to be driven to the edge, on the brink, like many of these
by
guys.
Us.
By you. Okay. By people of your ilk.
All right.
That just escalated.
Let's just leave that right there and let everybody... Let's just come back to this podcast in 2 years' time or whatever.
Own your stuff, Sia. If you go throw it out there, own it.
Okay. You want to hear, just quickly before we bring Stefan in, because I want to introduce you to him. He's one of our listeners from Berlin, who I met last year when I was in Berlin. But before we get to that, here's Nassim Akhdam's video. Do you want to hear a little bit of audio from her video?
Yep.
Okay, this is the woman who's allegedly behind the shooting at YouTube headquarters.
یه حرکت قدرتی با هم انجام بدیم ببینیم چی بیشتر میره قابل توجه افرادی که فکر
So she's not even in English. This is the video clip that apparently went up and YouTube took down.
برای قوی بودن ورزشکار بودن.
And it's about exercises.
Yep.
She's doing like core exercises. I mean, this is what she's doing. She's going up and down on her haunches. That's her video. So she was unhappy that she wasn't getting massive hits because of that?
Yeah, they felt YouTube was stifling her traffic.
Huh. So she went and shot people. That's her music. Well, it's not her music. It's the music she used in her video.
Yeah, I'm with her. How did this not become a huge How did this not get millions?
It's so obviously fantastic. I mean, she should really have been a celebrity a long time ago.
Just listen to that makes me want to squat.
Isn't that what you listen to when you squat?
No.
Now it is.
I'm going to start from today. Might improve my exercise regimen. All right, let's meet Stefan Panzer. He's I've met him in Berlin last year. He's one of our listeners, originally from Cape Town. He's in South Africa the first time in 4 years. He's come to say hi to his family, and we're going to say hi to him as well this morning. Hey, Stefan, nice to see you, man.
How's it, Gareth? How's the team?
Good. Great. How are you?
Awesome. I think I just sat on the famous Scholopat couch, so I'm feeling amazing. I've never been this close to a celebrity before.
She was lying there not so long ago.
I tried to lie down, but I didn't want to push it.
Do you suddenly have an urge for bread?
Because that's what she likes to eat.
Oh, yeah. Her new trend, those naked yoga. That's her new thing.
Oh, really?
Now. Yes. Oh, yes.
Scholopat likes naked yoga?
Are you guys
Is she
not...
posting pictures?
Please follow her on Instagram. You'll like...
Anyway, enough about Scholopat. How are you, man? What's been happening in Berlin?
Well, not as exciting as what's going on down here.
There's always more excitement here.
Of course.
Yeah. So it's really the first time you've been back in 4 years?
Yeah.
So your family haven't seen you in 4 years?
Yeah, well, we had a pre-agreement that they should come visit us first.
Yeah, okay.
So that kind of...
Because you and your wife live in Berlin, and you guys moved there. She's also from Cape Town.
Yeah.
Yeah. So did they come and visit you?
Nope.
Wow, that's nice. The agreement was they would come and visit you, and they just didn't give a shit. They stayed in Cape Town.
And I'm down for a friend's wedding, and I'm also doing some work in Joburg and in Cape Town.
Okay.
So I didn't tell them I was coming, and my mother-in-law nearly got a heart attack when she opened the door and saw us, so that was quite fun.
You guys walked through the door, and she didn't know what she'd go, who are these people? Get them out of my house.
That's sweet, though.
Yeah, so Stefan took me around Berlin. We spent one afternoon, and he tried to give me a taste of the nightlife, and then I caught a train back home.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of interesting because I'd never really had any expectations of Berlin. It's a fascinating place. I mean, it really is just amazing. We went to this bizarre kind of hippie... It was this. Remember that place alongside the river?
Yeah, it's called the Holzmarkt, so the wood market.
Yes,
And it's like I call it like the theme park for grown-ups, because you can do anything there. And more recent discovery that I found coming home from a pub quite late at night was I found a queue of people dressed in S&M gear at -5 degrees outside. And I was like, what the fuck is going on here? like strap-ons and everything, chains.
Yeah, yeah, dude, there's that famous club in
Berlin.
It's
called the Kit Kat Club. So I spoke to some locals, and they said, it's amazing. Look, there's a swimming pool inside. I was like, I would never ever get inside.
Is it a sex club? I mean, that's what it is.
It's basically anything goes.
You know, I'm really...
Imagine the water in that pool.
I'm blown away. Like, Berlin is just such a strange place. First of all, when we were talking, you told me something like 70% of Berlin's population isn't from Berlin.
Yeah.
They're from all over the rest of Europe and, you know, other parts of the world and everything else. So it's a very cosmopolitan place. It's a very forward-thinking city. It's quite green. There's a lot of kind of green architecture. And obviously because a lot of the buildings had to be completely rebuilt in the 1940s and 50s, the place could start from scratch. It's quite modern. And, you know, you'll walk past a building and there's a sort of ruin of an old one. And then there's a brand new glass and steel and chrome and... You know, there's a lot of wood and it's a fascinating place. You must see amazing things every single time you walk around there.
It is very interesting. The only thing that, as like growing up here, that gets to me is as soon as winter hits and the sun sets at 3 p.m., that's hardcore.
Yeah.
So, and also, it's not like the UK where you have evergreen trees. So in winter, there's no greenery anywhere.
Yeah, it's very desolate.
So it's just... I think 10 years ago it would have been an amazing place just because of the nightlife and just like the culture that you have in Berlin. But now if you just want to live like a more chilled, relaxed life, It's a bit trickier, but it's still a great place, great food. I think for European standards, okay, you can't compare anything to South African food. But
are you saying you're too old for Berlin? Like it's more of a young person's place.
Yeah, it's a playground. It's like the whole city is a playground for people probably up until their mid to late 20s. It's insane.
So
like
Sia should go there.
Sia should definitely go there because he can go the out on Thursday
what
night.
Now?
No, you can skip that one.
Oh, okay.
You go out on Thursday night and you can come home on Monday morning from the same club.
Oh, that is, you are just asking for trouble.
And you must see these, what was that bar we went to? There was a bar that, there were a couple of them because we tried to like look around the place. And you were going to show me like a few places. There were a couple of really like normal, anywhere in the world bars. And there was this bizarre little like hole in the wall. There were like six people in it. And they were having drinks, mm-hmm. but they were like stuffed animals on the walls and things. Remember that place?
Yeah, it's like random
funny places.
I would call
man.
It like a style of German speakeasy. You know, speakeasy
that's,
bars?
That's what it is. Yeah.
I've heard the term.
So this is a thing in Europe and in the States. I don't know if it's a thing in SA yet. Mm-hmm. It's basically random doors spread across the city and you got to knock and say a password and you get in. Mm-hmm. And then it's like a... from the 1920s, US 1920s.
It was when the bootlegging thing was going on. So you couldn't, it was during the Prohibition in America. And basically, in order to drink, you had to drink in a private place and it had to be under, you know, under wraps because you didn't want the cops to find out. So you would knock on the door, there'd be a password, you'd walk in and there'd be a bar and there'd be a few people in there. Never too many because if you had too many people, it would attract attention. And the police would come and bust you.
Yeah.
But it was basically a place for people to socialize and to drink. And that's kind of stayed as an idea. And it's quite a cool idea, actually. Yeah.
It is, but I mean, Corey Feldman was bundled into a couple of those.
The only downside from speakeasies is that because of how they had to pay their staff, mm-hmm. that's where tipping started. So we got to all suffer.
Oh, really? Oh. As a result of that?
Yeah, because... bar owners and restaurant owners are too stingy to pay their employees full salaries.
Huh.
And that's why we began to suffer. What a dramatic
So how is it going for you and your wife? You still happy in Berlin or are you thinking you're moving somewhere else?
I'll give it another year or two and then I think somewhere southern hemisphere. Hopefully home, but who knows.
And you guys, I remember when I left and I said goodbye to you, you said you were planning a little trip to Prague or something? You were going somewhere in Eastern Europe,
Austria.
Right?
That's Austria, the cool thing. Yeah. Like now, when we get back in a month's time, we're just going to drive through France and Spain and just spontaneously go through.
Yeah, it's you can go anywhere, right? Yeah. EU, kind of once you're in there, you could go anywhere you like.
Yeah, and it's much better than flying. I also got a United Airlines story, which is... But
oh, really?
Oh, United. No.
I don't know how that company is still going.
All right, so tell me what's new since you got back to South Africa. I mean, you've been keeping up with our podcast, so you're not completely out of the loop. But are you surprised by anything, having been back here for the first time in 4 years?
I think it's just a couple of new buildings, which is always the case, because just how our economy does still grow, even though it is suffering a bit. But the one thing that really shocked me, that within 4 years, like things that I used to buy mm-hmm. doubled in price.
Yeah.
Like I used to get a cup of coffee for $15.
Yeah.
$30.
For a cup of coffee, it's ridiculous.
I was telling my friend, telling my friends here in Cape Town that if this would happen in Europe, people would lose their shit.
Yeah, they'd go crazy, right?
They'd go mental.
They wouldn't tolerate it.
And here people just go, what can we do? And I think the attitude is just a bit different.
What a lot of people have done is they just put the word craft before it to justify the thing.
No, this was Mug and Bean.
And even they use craft.
They're not allowed to. They're a massive chain. They're not allowed to call themselves craft. All right. You've discovered any new and wild things in Berlin? It is a pretty bizarre place.
Apart from
the Kit Kat Club.
Because there are just every kind of weird social group you could imagine, like goths and hippies and hipsters and people who hug trees and just amazing like diversity of people in that city.
Are there a lot of people who raise kids in the city?
Yeah, there's a lot of people that raise the kids in the city and they raise them
and they get farmed out to the...
No, then maybe I think like...
to the rural land.
The city is the hustle and the bustle and maybe there are smaller suburban communities a little out the city. Because, I don't know, in my mind, I'm now picturing this wild
what
place.
I was amazed by also is that there's a huge amount of that kind of Soviet era building still around. So you've got these very dull, very gray, very boring looking buildings.
Yeah. And it went to those are 10 times worse.
Particularly where East Berlin was, you know, on that side of the wall. And you have, and there's still parts of the wall. We actually took a long walk along a huge section of the wall.
The East Side Gallery, that's a very famous area.
Yeah, when you showed me around. And you get to see all the graffiti on the wall, which is magnificent. It really is just spectacular. And it gets kind of, it's treated like one big artwork.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's one enormous canvas. It's beautiful.
And every 6 months, the new artists come in, famous artists, and just repaint it.
Yeah. So it's quite something to see. And
look, this is where the artists are hired in the world, Gareth.
Yeah.
In Berlin.
They get hired in Berlin.
Yeah, because they don't get paid anything. That's why they get hired in Berlin.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah. All right. Well, I mean, it's nice to have you back, man. And I hope you can have a good time here in South Africa. So you've been with the in-laws a little bit, with your parents as well?
Yeah, yeah. So I spent some time down there.
Did they miss you? Did they say, oh, sorry, we didn't come and visit for 4 years?
No.
Nothing.
Yeah, how do they exactly justify that?
You thought
that
Germans were cold.
Yeah, well, who knew, eh? We got a dark side down here.
Are you surprised at how dry Cape Town is?
I must confess that the first day I flushed twice.
Uh-oh.
So I feel very guilty.
It was bad.
And then I started using the bucket, but it's okay. You get the hang of it. Just the short showers are a bit of a pain.
I heard yesterday, who was it yesterday who said to us that Cape Town has managed to save? It's managed to cut down its water usage by 80%.
Yeah. So my parents were bragging that their monthly water bill is 30 rand.
That is incredible.
Whoa.
So you see, it can be done.
Yeah.
Like, we all use way too much water. And if we're conscious of it, like Cape Townians are now, you cut down your consumption by 80%. That's amazing. I mean, yeah, we can do anything if we just put our minds to it.
Exactly,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. I remember when we went out, we tried to find decent drinks, and we really struggled to find the right kind of tequila.
Yeah.
You had any luck since then?
Speakeasies. I've been speakeasy hunting with a couple of friends, and the way they're set up, they don't have menus.
Mm-hmm.
And you just tell them, if you want a cocktail, you tell them your taste palate. You'll love this, yeah? You're just like, I feel like cucumber and
oh, yes.
And they bring you like,
they'll bring you like a very fancy drink, or you can just say, I want a tequila from this region of Mexico, and then they'll bring it to you.
Really? So they've got that kind of variety?
Yeah, but I don't go out a lot, so I'd rather go to one of those places maybe once a month and then have a great evening.
Is gin a big thing in Berlin as well? Because it's massive
there
here.
There is gin bars, yeah. I've actually been to one in Cape Town, which was very good.
You can't walk down the street without bumping into a gin bar in Cape Town.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Or a craft beer place. One of the two. Place. I'm actually thinking we only have one. You're speaking about these bars, and I think there's only one example that's popping in my head here in Joburg, actually. Mm-hmm. Have you heard of Syntax?
Yeah.
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 And even the way you get in, and there's a secret entrance and an end. So, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So it's a very nice place.
Do you think Ben would like Berlin?
Sure.
Yeah, I'm sure Ben would like Berlin. There's a golf course. There's a golf course 20 minutes outside of Berlin. So.
Oh, now you got him.
Just the one golf course?
Sometimes I feel that we are so limited here. Gareth basically just like huddled over the microphone, gave me a look like I was a bad smell, said, oh, do you think Ben would like Berlin?
No, but I was talking to Ben outside earlier, and
sorry,
I think for his drone footage there, he can get some good material in Berlin and get some good vlogs done. If he comes to visit.
I can adapt anywhere I go, Gareth.
Yeah.
I love how you know how to appeal to all of us here. Golf courses with Ben, bars for me, happy
but,
family.
No, but it's a true thing. Like, I always tell people, South Africans are like cockroaches. You can put us anywhere, we'll survive.
Oh, jeez. Spot on.
That's not the best compliment I've ever heard.
It is a good compliment. I think it's a great compliment, because you really can put us in any situation, and because of our, like, our background and just our environment, the things that Germans complain about is you can't compare to what we complain about.
What do you mean?
It's like minuscule things, like comparing the elections last year where the German elections, where they took 6 months to form a government.
Yeah.
They complained about that the right-wing party AfD got 10%.
Mm-hmm.
Back then, I kind of saw the ANC as a more right-wing party, just the way they acted in certain things. So I said, look at South Africa, the right-wing party is at probably 60%. But they're of dark skin color. And they're like, what? How does that work? Like, that's impossible. We 10%. Oh, no, Hitler's coming back. And I was like, people, chill.
Oh, jeez.
Hitler's coming back.
It's like, keep your friends close. Keep your enemies close. At least now you can see them in parliament. You can see what shit they're trying to do.
Yeah.
And
better that they're out there.
Exactly.
Than
instead
away.
Of underground. Yeah.
There is a place. This is according to some messages that we're getting about what you said. Berlin is amazing. Kit Kat Club features in Cabaret with Liza Minnelli. It's amazing. So it's a real place.
Yeah.
And someone else says there is a place in Cape Town called Outrage of Modesty that's like the speakeasy that Stefan's talking about.
Probably some of the most incredible cocktails you can ever think of. And enjoy it. I've been there a couple of times.
I'll go there tonight. I'm flying down in two hours.
Are you leaving now? All right.
No, in 2 hours I'm flying down. Mm-hmm. So
it's right next to a place called House of Machines, which is also a really cool bar.
I've been there as well.
Great part of Cape Town.
My sister gave me an updated club tour.
Just finally, Stefan, any pointers for us? You've been listening for a long time. You're one of our super fans. You kind of keep an eye on things. Are you happy with the way the show's sounding? Are you happy with the kind of things that Ben is doing, the kind of things Sia's doing?
Just be sensitive with Sia.
Yeah, be very sensitive.
Okay, so I can go wild on you,
yes.
Ben.
Go for it. Go, give us some honest, direct feedback.
Well, this is very personal. So
go on.
Ben doesn't cover a lot of Bundesliga. And since Germany won the World Cup.
Yeah.
I think the Bundesliga is one team. Oh, and the Premier League is not?
No, it's not. It's Man City and the team they beat.
Yeah.
It's many teams.
So no, that's just like personal gripe, but otherwise I think what
no
you guys...
No other complaints?
What you guys do is amazing.
Thank you very much.
He's saying that because he's in the room.
You don't have any like negative feedback for us. You don't want to like tell me I should stop saying the word.
That one.
Old.
Yeah.
Is there anything that you need me to stop doing?
Look,
irritates
look,
you.
I can only compare you guys to other podcasts I listen to other radio stations that. If I'm in the car and I run out of podcasts because I catch up, and there's not even podcasts in Europe that come close to what you guys do. Like I listen to some history podcasts that are great, and also for some funny history podcasts like The Dollop. But still, from a technical aspect and organizational aspect and the material you bring for expats, SAFRs as we call them, to be educated about what's going on back home. Like when I speak with my parents, I can tell them more about what's going on in South Africa than they know.
I think that's the
biggest compliment.
All right, no, thank you. Do you tell other Germans about what we do? You're trying to persuade them to listen?
Once you get a German podcast, I might do that, but they
they don't want to listen in English.
No.
Germans.
I'll need to learn some German.
How many wars must we win for them to start listening?
Oh, my
So they're very sensitive. I like joking about the Germans, especially how they try to convince us to learn German and to speak German better. And
German's not bad, though. Your German's very good, yeah.
So I always tell them, look, if you lose two wars in a century, then you should be lucky if anybody's speaking German. And they kind of don't really like that.
No, I'm sure that doesn't go down well.
You might have to
make a hasty exit from Berlin soon. Anyway, Stefan, very nice to see you, man. Thanks for coming.
Thanks for what you guys are doing. This is really great. And
we're thrilled that
you're making living overseas a lot easier.
We're thrilled that you could make it this morning and that you listened to us. It makes us feel like a big worldwide community. So thank you, man. Always good to connect. There we go, Stefan Panzer, and he is in Germany. He's one of our listeners, and he's originally from Cape Town, where his family just do not care about him being so far away. They couldn't even be bothered to visit him once. And when he comes to visit them, they're like, yeah, all right.
Blame it on the water crisis somehow.
Enjoy Cape Town, dude.
Thanks, guys.
All right, very nice. There we go. All right, let's do this. the un-news for this morning, there's been another random shooting in America. This time is YouTube, as a disgruntled user, shot some people and took her own life over alleged censorship of her videos. She's been identified as a Muslim woman originally from Iran, but CNN are reporting it was a middle-aged white housewife that didn't like videos of Obama. That's CNN for you. Bill Cosby's back in court. His initial case resulted in a mistrial, and Bill is hoping that the same outcome will prevail here. Cosby said that in his prime, he was responsible for many miscarriages. So another mistrial at this stage in his life should be doable. And finally, the Australian cricketers have just returned home. They're set to hit the bars and clubs after being away in South Africa. looking to pick up some local Sheilas, who they hope will flock to them like usual. Only this is unlikely to be the case. After the ball tampering and crying press conferences, cricketers have slipped a few notches on the Australian rootometer, or rootometer. AFL players at the top of the list, then rugby league and then rugby union players, and then members of the Socceroos team, golfers, even MasterChef contestants, and most of them are gay. So, there we go. Good luck, Australians. Particularly the cricket team in this case. All right, coming up, our discussion that we had with an amazing Irish musician, a guy who, when he popped in, I wasn't even aware of what a famous man he was, a guy called Finbar Fury. He popped into our studio, performed a live song, which is absolutely beautiful. I think you're going to love it too. But this is worth going back to. Finbar Fury coming up on cliffcentral.com with a very, very nice rendition of some of his songs. He brought in his banjo, gave us some original, authentic, traditional Irish music. Very, very cool. That's on the way, along with a lot more today on cliffcentral.com.
This is cliffcentral.com.